arrival of the Son of God, the incarnation, the angels singing, the shepherds that are there, and all the, shall we say, fanfare that goes along with Christmas itself. And hymns, too. Christmas carols that we love to sing and to hear this time of year. Personally, I advocate singing them all year long. And if you're with me on me, say amen. Amen. There we go. Okay, make note of that, Gunilla. All right, this summer we have to sing some of these. One of the reasons it would be a good idea is because part of the, shall we say, difficulty of maintaining a sense of God's glory all year long is because we kind of wait for Christmas to think about the incarnation and the wonderful gift of God through Jesus Christ. But tonight we have that privilege, and as Robert had mentioned at the outset, tonight is a time of quiet meditation, although childlike noises are always welcome around here. We want to think about what God has done, but then consider in our hearts how we might respond to these things. One of the hymns that we sang tonight is one of my favorites, excuse me. We didn't sing it. It was sung by Gunilla and Jessica as they did so, Thou Who Wast Rich. It's one that perhaps isn't in your popular song list on your listening device, but it's one of my favorites. Frank Houghton, who is the author of this, he was a British pastor, a clergyman in Britain in the 20th century, wrote this hymn. And it was one that, to me, evokes both the mystery, shall we say, the solemn sense of Christmas Eve and the night that is there in the darkness, and yet the contrast between who God is and what he chooses to become for people like us. The first verse, in case you were so enraptured by the beautiful melodies that were being sung, you missed the words. Thou who wast rich beyond all splendor, all for love's sake became as poor. Thrones for a manger didst surrender, sapphire-paved courts for stable floor. Thou who wast rich beyond all splendor, all for love's sake became as poor. What wonderful contrasts. Sapphire thrones for a stable floor. Thrones given up for a manger. And all of these things, God gives up heaven as Christ comes to this. Because of his love, he becomes poor. The second verse, similar. Thou who art God, beyond all praising, all for love's sake became a man. Stooping so low, but sinners raising, heavenward by thine eternal plan. Thou who art God, beyond all praising, all for love's sake becamest a man. It's incredible reality. All for his love for us. And then the final verse, thou who art love, beyond all telling, Savior and King, we worship thee. Emmanuel, within us dwelling, make us what thou wouldst have us be. Thou who art love beyond all telling, Savior and King, we worship thee. I really appreciate how that hymn reflects much of the Christian scriptures themselves, of what they teach us about the greatness of God, and yet the humility of the Son of God as he comes into the world to suffer and to die for sinners like you and like me. He was born a baby in an animal eating trough. He stooped so low because of his love for us. Consider that for a moment. In similar fashion, it reminds me of that last text that was read for us from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, where the wise men, a couple of years later, after Jesus is just a small baby now, not an infant, they go there and they follow the star. And one of the intriguing things there is the three things that I notice what happens when they get there. The star arrives where they're living, and it tells us in verse 10 that they were overjoyed. Their journey had come to a conclusion. For a long time, they've been traveling, following that star that God had led them to that place. They got there, and they overjoyed. Just think for a quick moment what it's like when you're traveling to Florida, and you've been two long days with little sleep, and you arrive at the beach. Do you overrejoice? And here, these magi don't know much about this at all, except they've been led by the God of creation to follow a star. He led them to that point that they might bring their gifts to him. They're overjoyed. And so should we when we come to this point and recognize that God is with us. But not only that, in verse 11 it says they bowed down and worshiped him. Dare I say, what else would they do? in the presence of a king, what are you going to do? And not just any king, but the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of all the earth, this little maybe two-year-old child who's perhaps learned to walk and is fussing around the house. They bow down and worship him. And so should we. Oh yes, Jesus was a man, fully man, yet fully God in every way. He suffered the ills of life, but was without sin. He was himself God in the flesh. He's our King, our Lord and Master. Sometimes we take Jesus for granted. We speak lightly of who he was, and yet we forget sometimes that he is the one who made us all. And we should bow down and worship him. Tonight, as we've done, when you go home with your families, tomorrow, as you rise to all the clutter and clash and clinging of all sorts of fun things, when you get to that point, that we should bow down our hearts and worship him, because if God were not coming in the flesh, we would never have any hope. We would never have hope. And then it says in verse 11, the third thing, that they presented him with gifts. I know, kids, how many of you are waiting for those gifts tomorrow? At least one, thank you. Oh, another one. Big kids don't count. So little ones I want. Yes. It's okay. They're from Kapuskasing. They're different. It's colder up there. So I love you kids too. They presented him with gifts. But think about this, kids. And you're right. We look forward to gifts, don't we? But the wise men brought gifts to Jesus. You think Jesus wants us to bring him gifts? Yeah, he does. Gifts of worship and adoration, our hearts that we give to him, that we put our trust in Jesus. Listen very carefully. Little ones, older ones. If you're here tonight and you want to celebrate Jesus and his birth, you must do it first by bowing the knee of repentance and faith and trusting in him alone. Because not only is he the King, he's the Lord of all. He is your Savior if you trust him now. That he brings life and life eternal. The gift we'll bring him is our heart, as one of the Christmas carols. And I'll give him my heart. So I pray that tonight, if these things are in your mind, that you would ponder them carefully and put your trust in Christ alone. Well, I suppose that's enough for this evening, but I just want you to think in at least a few ways. In our response to this evening, let's use our minds to think, to consider, to ponder what has taken place, not what has taken place tonight, but what took place over 2,000 years ago for the salvation of sinners and for the glory of God himself. Let us tonight respond by opening our hearts to receive the truth of who God is and embrace that truth, not fight against it, not put it on the shelf, but embrace it and say, yes, this is truth. I will follow this King. I will put my trust in him alone that he might be glorified. And then perhaps we will give him our lives of worship and adoration. That we will leave tonight with a sense of excitement, yes, a sense of solemnity of what has taken place, but also a sense of delight to serve him, our King, because one day he's coming again. May God in his wisdom give us grace and understanding this evening to know thou who wast rich became poor for us. And as we bring our service to a conclusion, we want to sing another hymn. You grabbed a candle as you were coming in this evening, or you were given one. We have one of our leaders here. We were running out of lighters, but we have a lighter here somewhere. So he's going to start lighting along the way here, and we'll get those candles lit. We'll just light the first one, and then the next one light along that way, and so on. And in a moment, the organ will start to play this hymn. There you go. Traditions are wonderful, aren't they? I love to see the families that are here tonight, and it's a joy always. I also want to recognize here that the lights that we have here in these candles are for us a reminder of the light that is Jesus, the light of the world, who dispels the darkness. And tonight, if you're really thinking in terms of your own heart, oh, that you might bow before him today.